Hey everyone, Mr. Devil here, Kenny Danico, three-time Stanley Cup champion of the New Jersey Devils, and you're listening to the Uncle Puckers New Jersey Devils podcast with Chris, Dan, Bobby, and Tony, the Uncle Puckers. Let's go, Devils!
The 2023-24 Devil season went out with a bang, huh, guys?
Fizzles.
Yeah.
I didn't even watch it.
It was horrible.
I had no idea. Checked out.
I wanted to put off watching the last game of the season, so I didn't watch it last night. I actually watched it this morning. And, again, for the first 10 minutes, I really liked the way they played.
Yeah, but I watched the rest of the game. It was amazing.
I watched the rest of the game, three quarters of speed, fast forward, just, you know, stopping it every time I saw the score change for the Islanders. But, Jesus, I mean, what a pathetic.
What a whimper, right?
At the end of the season. Just a little baby puppy queef. That's all that was.
We were just talking about, you know, as we were all gathering up for the show here, looking at the standings and the 89 points that sit right now for wild card number two. Might go to 91 tonight, I guess. Somebody's probably got to win. 91 points.
91 points to the playoffs.
We didn't even score a point a game. We had 81 points in 82 games.
No. Yeah. This was, once they were out of the playoffs, or even, I'll go a week, 2 weeks before they were officially eliminated. They just gave up. There was no heart on this team whatsoever.
They gave up way too early. I mean, if they would have gone on a heater 2 weeks ago, like you said, they're short, 10 points of that 91? Like, come on, man. You put it together. So everybody was giving them every opportunity to get back in this playoff race down to the day they were eliminated. And, you know, just... definitely disappointing. Definitely makes you frustrated with the team as a fan. I'm sure many Devil fans are frustrated, and you want change. You want something better, you know?
You know what's so concerning to me is part of the reason why I wanted Lindy Ruff fired, and especially as early as I did want him fired, partially was because I felt like the team just was not playing hard for him. Yeah. He added a lot of things that I didn't like. You know, I didn't like the way he was actually coaching, but it also just really seemed like he could not get anything out of this team. Right. So a new voice in there. And I don't know if that was Lindy Ruff, because they're playing the exact same way, even worse under Travis Green. Like, is it just this team has no fight in them? They just don't give a shit? I don't want to believe that.
You know, the first, handful of games, 4 or 5, we were giving credit to Green. There was a difference in their play. Maybe they weren't winning as much.
But then they just
500
fizzled out.
It looked better. And then, completely fizzled. And there's more injuries to come. But, you're right. I mean, what is it? I don't know.
Could not shake that shadow. Maybe it from all season long, all the excuses that were built in that you would hear from everywhere, from media, from, you know, eventually from their own coach and GM about injuries, and, you know, all these reasons why, you know, don't worry about it. And it just seemed like they had time all season long to turn things around until it became like ingrained behavior. And at that point, they could not really get out of the habits that they formed all year long.
How worrisome is that to you?
Very. I think, though, at some point, like especially down the stretch from Travis Green on, after an initial little shot in the arm, they fell back into that, and they basically threw the season away, which is real shame when you look. Hold on a second. You know, you guys had a chance to limp into the playoffs, yes. Maybe get bounced the first round if you just would have kept some intensity up from the, you know. But I think they purposely, you know, they just could not find it within themselves to believe, you know. It comes down to something
mental hurdle.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Became a habit.
I really hope that's not the – majority of the makeup on this team, because they're not going to do shit moving forward.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the majority. I mean, at least not from some of the guys, you know, that we'll label as the core again. I mean, for my money, you know, Brat's been the engine the last 30 days plus. Timo Meier, he can do when he's healthy. Jack was hurt all year for the most part, which everyone kind of knew. You never really know.
It's more of a, you know, our core engine was trying to pull the fucking train, but we just didn't have the supporting cast.
I think there's some of that. I think Dan's right, though, too. I think there's something in their head about that belief mentality. Like the team we saw last year that would score 2-3 goals in the last couple of minutes to tie it up, win it, force overtime, no quit. They showed sparks of that this year where they could do that. But like, look at our track record with the empty net, right? I mean, that was ridiculous how often we were scoring on it and didn't wind up scoring when we had our goalie pulled. Real interesting stat from Bill Spaulding last week. Forgot to mention it was maybe when there was like 3-4 games left.
I think I know the stat you're going to say.
At that moment, he was a minus 23. And Bill Spaulding said he's a minus 22 when on the ice for empty net goals against.
Wow.
Because they're putting him out there to basically do the impossible.
Yeah.
So you take those away, and the kid was a minus one after all that this year. Very impressive.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it really is. It is. His play has been impressive all year, and there has been bright patches this year. Just like when you start talking about how, you know, it wasn't out of reach for anything other than the fact that they just didn't go get it. Mm-hmm. You know, right. It was all there for them. And they were, if they were playing up to their potential out of them, the Islanders, the Penguins, the Red Wings, Philly, even Tampa, I would say the Devils were the best team out of them. Like if they just somehow found a way to get their shit together, they'd be third in the Metropolitan Division right now. Yep. And they'd be going into the playoffs to face Carolina, and we'd be feeling really good about the Devil play because they had that potential. Now, I know Jack's injury and everything else, maybe just this. You know, maybe this just isn't the year, and well, it wasn't, but like maybe we just need to chalk it up to just bad luck, circumstance, shitty everything, and move on. I don't know. But the fact that, like even last night, it's your last home game, and that's what you put on the ice for your fans, like that's fucking embarrassing.
It is. Definitely some chatter about the fans who went that weren't very happy with that.
Yeah.
And it's very unfortunate.
You know, I get it. You watch them all season long. You know, you get out to these games, you come there, and that's the effort you see.
Yeah,
I understand. I'm not saying I'm the kind of person who's going to boo my team. I never have, but I get the idea. I mean, in a way, we're kind of, you know, going over exactly what these fans are booing about. So we totally agree.
Very frustrating. Spend a lot of friggin' money to go up to these games. Absolutely. And, you know, you don't mind seeing a team lose, your boys lose, as long as it was a good game and they put it out there. But so few times this year did they really play a complete 60-minute game. Yep. Too few times did they look like, you know, they even gave a shit. Like, once things got – and maybe – I think a lot of it is what you said, Dan, like the just ingrained mindset of, you know, just we can't do anything right. And, you know, it just, you know – why bother kind of thing. It's not a why, you know, and I'm not saying
it's
they
a little
quit,
negativity. Like even when one or two things go right, you feel like, well, the third thing's not going to go right. You know,
well, you saw that.
That's why they could never string wins together.
These games at down the stretch, the blowing the leads in the third
blowing
period,
the leads
and it's, almost blowing a 3-goal lead against Ottawa.
I don't know how to describe it other than something psychological where you just, you know, you're bringing that negativity into a situation when, even when things are going good.
They didn't even have like a sample to fall back on and say, hey, last month we won 5 in a row. Remember, like they didn't even have that. It's always been one step forward, two steps back. It's got a dog on you after a while.
And this team just has to grow up a little bit, I think. And, you know, get the right supporting cast around the guys. And, you know, it's going to be the conversation going forward. It's a coach, it's a goalie, and it's some supporting pieces. And let's, you know, try and get this thing going.
I wonder if some players are thinking others are maybe a little deluded about their play and their contribution, and they feel like it's so broken that way that's part of the negativity, where that's something a good coach can come in and call the individuals who need to have their shit called and you know, straighten it out.
Exactly.
I feel like somebody's in charge, because this has that negativity where it's also like, you know, who's at the helm of the ship? And I feel like, Travis Green wasn't it. They had a little bit of a bump when he came in, but I think that was more about just, you know, okay, we've blamed Lindy and now he's gone. But, you know, that didn't last very long.
I kind of feel bad for Travis Green, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of puts him in no man's land. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, he comes into a situation. It's an impossible situation, you know, like because it wasn't just that we had guys underperforming on the team. It was the system in general. And I think that Travis Green probably knew that and, you know, probably wanted to change a lot of things, but also saying, I only have 21 games.
Yeah.
Here.
Right.
Like, how much am I changing? Like, we have
I'm
to just try and
a radically different right. system.
And let then me just try and get everything, and get the best I can out of these guys. And, you know, they didn't, I think,
because that would have been enough to live in the playoffs, actually.
Yeah, and I just think the team didn't live up to their end of the bargain. You know, I think Travis Green kind of did the best he can.
Yeah. Literally the only thing that would have worked for him going forward was a run that showed, okay, he got this team in and gets the playoffs. At this point, without that, like, I can't see any scenario that he's hired for this team.
The last week that of the Devils play assured that Travis Green is now completely out of the conversation of Devils head coach. There's just no chance.
Yeah.
And then you get a new coach in. You know, they love to pick their own staff. I mean, I'm sure Green's a great hockey guy, but they might keep him along in some capacity, but probably not. You know,
no, they'll fire everybody.
I mean, whoever comes in, let's say for the sake of argument, and it's not going to happen, it was Green, I still would clean house. Like, whoever comes in needs to just completely start fresh, get that new vibe going.
Very hardly ever does any head coach in any sport come in and keep people. It's just they bring their own people in and that's it. And that's how it should be. You're firing the head coach because and nobody else was doing their job either. You know, you got to get a new voice in there. So we did our little goalie watch. You want to do coach watch?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Coach Watch 2024.
Coach Watch.
Yep, five guys here. All of them, I think, an upgrade of where we are right now. But, you know, I got some info about them, and let me know what you guys think. The first one is Craig Berube. So Berube coached in the league for 8 years. He did 2 in Philadelphia, 6 in St. Louis. In 2018, he coached 63 games when he took over for the Blues, took them to the Cup. He was fired also this season after 28 games. They had a 13-14 record. So he finished coaching. Where am I here? With 543 games. He won 281. He lost 190 and he has 72 overtime losses. His winning percentage as a whole is 0.584 and his playoff winning percentage is, 466.
Okay.
Then, I mean, I like Craig Berube.
Yeah, well, that's the name we floated a few times this year as, like, you know, somebody who's kind of a more stern, you know, runs a tight ship guy, you know. We were talking about maybe the need for a guy like that, you know.
Right. And his numbers aren't great, but at the same time, a lot of pieces were taken away from St. Louis the year after they won that cup. And when he had the guys on the team, he got the best out of them and they won a Stanley Cup. And this team has a lot of guys. So it is kind of thinking, you know, hey, he's already done it once before and he might be a really good dude behind
his
bench.
And as a refresher, that was December last place, right? And into the playoffs and won that cup. I was saying that's correct.
He brought him up from last place at Christmas time to second in their division and then going all the way to winning the cup. Wow. They got that high. So
that was the year that they gave, you know, Binnington a lot of the credit for
that. They brought him up and they sat Jake Allen and they brought in Binnington and he was ridiculous that playoff.
Just caught fire.
And it wasn't like a run like the Panthers had last year where they got hot, you know, a lot later and then just had that remarkable run. Like they just went from playing really bad hockey to really amazing hockey overnight. And then they just ran it, you know, right through to the playoffs, which is pretty impressive.
It was. Right?
Would have loved to get him in the middle, the day they fired him this year.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right now he might be tied with, as my second guy on this list. So next guy is Jay Woodcroft, who this year just got fired from Edmonton. So he's 47. They hired him. Edmonton hired him in 21-22, and they fired him this year with 38 games left. 13 games. I'm sorry. They hired him in 2012 when they only had 38 games left. So they fired whoever was their coach at the time, and they brought in Jay Woodcroft. Actually, it might have been Todd McClellan that they fired. So, and they brought him in, Jay Woodcroft, with 38 games left, and he was fired this year, 13 games into the season this year. Now, if you remember, Edmonton was having a horrible 13 games, but that, when you look back at it, it's kind of crazy, right? 13 games in?
Yeah. He went all on. Yeah. He just started the season.
I mean, I guess you really can't doubt it. It worked, right? Edmonton's been playing awesome since, but
we should hire him and then fire him 13 games in. That could work.
That's the way to do it. So he's hasn't coached much, you know, 133 games, 79 wins, 41 losses, 13 overtime losses, but he does have a .643 winning percentage and he's .500 in the playoffs. So that's Jay Woodcroft. I'm not sure how I'd feel about that one. I don't know if he's the
guy. I don't know enough about him. Besides his numbers, his style, I don't really know.
Yeah, I know zero about his style. Yeah. I mean, what kind of style coach are you when you have to coach McDavid? I don't know.
Yeah, fast. I mean, if he likes doing offense, you know, but maybe that could be good for us.
Style too, like, you know, what type of coach does he come off as? Is he a best friend? Is he a hard ass? Like, I just don't know.
I guess, you know, if he had some success up until this year coaching McDavid, you know, he seemed like, I guess he got along good with the star players, which is something that is a dynamic now in the Devils. So I don't know.
That's true.
There's a plus if I'm looking for one. I don't know. I feel kind of ambivalent about him, but I don't know him very well. So.
Well, this guy, you know, is Mike Sullivan.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So not 10, you know, 11 years coaching, two in Boston. The last nine, he's been in Pittsburgh. 2015, 16, 16, 17, one cups.
Yeah.
834 games coached, 445 wins, 274 losses, 15 ties, and 100 overtime losses with .603 winning percentage. And he's .528 in the playoffs.
So the best numbers so far.
Yes.
And a lot of experience. That was a quality Pittsburgh team.
Yeah. That was really some of the best years for Pittsburgh.
But really got the best out of those guys. Like Mike Sullivan is a good coach.
Oh, and, no doubt.
Yeah, I think him with the Devils, I'd be fine with that. I mean,
there
are a couple of guys that I'd like to try and get before him, but if he was the guy that Fitzgerald settled on, I'd be totally fine with that.
You would say he's got bona fides.
With the two cups, absolutely, man.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he's the only one on this list with multiple cups.
I feel like that's kind of a prerequisite.
It is,
You got to have that cup experience, you know, because what we're looking to do now.
We have three guys total that have cups. Only two have gotten the cups as head coaches. The third, Tyler McClellan, got his cup as an assistant coach, but Sullivan and Berube. So let's just take Woodcroft off. We're not going to be happy with Jay Woodcroft, right?
Yeah, I mean,
probably not. No.
Not in that company.
So the next guy, like I said, was Todd McClellan. 16 years as a head coach. He was in San Jose. He was with LA and Edmonton. San Jose, he had a .637 win percentage, and he was .484 in the playoffs with with the Kings. He was a .550 winning percentage, .385 in the playoffs with Edmonton for 4 years, a .508 winning percentage, a .538 winning percentage in the playoffs. So Todd McClellan's numbers regular season from every franchise he went to steadily went down. So his coaching performances had dwindled throughout. His San Jose team was the best. Kings were the second best. Edmonton was the worst team. He's got a ton of experience, though. 1,144 games, 598 wins, 412 losses, 134 overtime losses. His career winning percentage is .581, and his career playoff winning percentage is .477.
Interesting.
Now, you know, McClellan has a lot of experience and he's got a lot of, you know, he's very highly regarded in the NHL and amongst other players and other coaches. And
by the numbers, just behind Sullivan, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, he's gotten they won the cup. He was with them when the Kings, he was the assistant coach with the Kings when they won their cup in, I think, against us. So I really like Todd McClellan. I really think that, you know, he had some really good King teams and really good Edmonton teams. I like him. You know,
he's
know
got
Bobby
experience with
doesn't,
fast teams like you guys, you know.
Yeah. And now Bobby, I know you don't know much about him, but
I initially didn't get the warm fuzzies from him.
No, just, you're not
just initially. I mean, I know we're going to get, you know, four or five here and I'll probably have to rank them in some way, and just initial reaction right now is probably not my top three. But that can change.
Now, the last guy on this list already should be out of the running because he does not have a Stanley Cup as a head coach. So we probably shouldn't even talk about Rob Brind'Amour. So
I'll make an exception. Let's talk about him.
Yeah. So like Rob Brind'Amour is I think every Devil fan's dream head coach, right? Like, who do you want as a head coach? It's Rob Brind'Amour, and you really don't say anything else. He's a unicorn, though, so you don't mind saying it because you're never going to have him.
Can you clone him? You know,
bring him over. I think there's quite a few other Devil fans. Like, you know, as a Devil fan, you never really enjoyed the Flyers and their players, right? But everybody always loved Brind'Amour. You know,
it
like
doesn't matter.
It doesn't. You know, I mean, he was the one Flyer that you could say, "Who's your favorite Flyer?" You're a Devil fan. Rod Brind'Amour. And that was before
he's still my favorite Flyer.
Exactly.
You know, but, you know, he's, like I said, he's a unicorn. You're never going to get him. It's just never going to happen, right? Because Carolina is not stupid. They're not ever letting Rod Brind'Amour walk out that door, right?
I think that would be a big mistake. I mean, who knows? I guess
so. I'm sure if we looked and did any research, we would see like they probably have him signed to 2030.
Oh, they definitely extending him over and over again.
Yeah. Right. Likely. Like you would do whatever you could to just keep him in Carolina as long as that franchise is there.
Sensing a butt here.
Right.
So Rod Brind'Amour is a free agent this year. And for some reason, Carolina either has not handed an extension to him or they maybe handed him an extension he wasn't so happy with. Wow. So that doesn't necessarily mean
speculation again.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But why the hell wouldn't they have this guy extended? Now, I understand a lot of players and coaches, they don't want to do anything while they're still playing hockey. So maybe there is something underlying that'll be taken care of as soon as Hurricanes are out. But that seems really fucking reckless, doesn't it?
Sure.
I'm getting excited. Wonder if he still has family in the area or something weird.
You want to get more excited?
Jersey. Yeah, tell me more.
You want to get more excited? Okay. So, Rod Brind'Amour, I mean, he's got to be one of the highest paid coaches, right?
It's going to cost us a pretty penny, I assume.
I mean, you would think this guy's coming in, you know, with Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews type money, right? This is the premier coach in the league. You got to pay the guy a lot of money, right?
Break the bank.
He does not get paid a lot of money. He has made, $2 million this year.
Oh, wow.
That's it. I'm pulling up a list right now. And
I'll be honest with you, I'm so ignorant of coaches' salaries because it doesn't affect the cap. So I'm like, is that a lot? I don't even know.
Where is that message I sent?
They could pay him $8 billion. I wouldn't give a shit.
I'd work for it.
Yeah, they could pay him $8 or $8 billion. I don't care. Because, you know, but, you know, you make a good point. Like, are you going to get him? Does the franchise want to spend? What's a spending coach these days?
Well, I had a list. Give me one second. I'm trying to find it. Okay. So right now, this year, the number one coach was Todd McLellan with the Kings, and he was making $5 million. Peter Laviolette makes 4.9. He's number two. Bruce Cassidy with the Knights, 4.5. All right. So, you know, Bruce Cassidy, it's good money. Stanley Cup winner. Peter DeBoer with Dallas gets 4.25. John Cooper, Tampa Bay, gets $4 million. Babcock made $4 million. John Tortorella got $4 million. Paul Maurice got $3.9 million. Craig Berube got $3.5 million. This is the top 10. Martin Saint-Louis, Montreal, $3 million. That's the top 10.
No wonder Brind'Amour hasn't signed an extension.
Yeah, now it maybe isn't so reckless after all, right? Because it seems like the starting line here is $4 million to begin negotiation. I know. I'm just saying the starting line. Cause I don't. So, yeah, like would you go to five for him and make him the high?
I mean,
he's not the highest paid, but you could make him the highest paid.
That would make him the highest paid. But he deserves to be the highest paid. Even though he's never won a Stanley Cup, it's just what a Rod Brind'Amour team brings to you is you're going to win cups. Like this Carolina team at some point, if he's still behind the bench, is going to win a cup.
Yeah.
If it's like not eventually, this year, but he's going to bring you consistent success. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's
so
important.
Scared of him as a player.
And you should be.
I know.
But like, if there's any kind of wandering eye from Rod Brind'Amour, and pun intended, because motherfucker's crazy eyes. But if he seriously does have a wandering eye and he's maybe looking around the league, If you're Tom Fitzgerald, you say $5 million, right? You come on in. I'll give you $5 million. You come in $20 million. Come on in for 4 years. Like, you have to do that. Like,
I think it's a great move because you got to get through Carolina in the East, and if you could take away their coach and bring him the success he has while taking away from your nearest competitor, it's the best move. If there's one place I would love to spend and buy and overpay, it would be there because it also doesn't hurt the cap.
Oh, I don't know how much you overpay on the coach. That's not the fucking salary cap money. Exactly. That's owner's money.
Our owners are really not worried about it. Yeah.
But this idea of just paying Rod Brindamore $5 million, us and probably 18 other teams are thinking the exact same thing. So
I got an idea. $5 million and $1.
Okay. If you have to go that high, I don't know if you're willing to risk
18
it.
18 other teams are doing that. He's going to want to say, okay, well, the Devils are paying me more.
So, I mean, what would make the Devils the better coaching option? In Carolina's division, so that would be kind of cool. Like, if he wanted to just shove it up their ass every time he played them.
Yep.
That would be fun. He's only played in the metro area and coached in the metro area, so maybe he doesn't want to leave the metro area.
That's what I'm thinking. And maybe he has family, you know, from his years in Philadelphia. And, you know, maybe there's a lot of reasons for him to consider. I'm just hoping.
And maybe he looks at this team and says, I can make this team a winner. You know, that's what you want from the coach. But I think Ron Brindamore could actually really do it.
Yeah. I mean, looking at that, as long as he likes, you know, somewhat challenges, because he has a winner already. The Carolina is basically where we'd like to see the Devils next year in terms of like the performance and work ethic.
But if they
don't
win the cup this year, is there, like, even from management, maybe a thought of maybe we have to go in a different direction? They you know,
quite possibly
this team that has been as good as they've been, and if they don't get it done this year, I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, crazier things have been done.
True, but, you know, Carolina has always had the excuse last year, and if they fail again this year, of goaltending. And I didn't hear anybody impugning the way they played, the coach and staff.
But their playoff play sometimes comes into question.
That's true. That's true. They did not, you know, close the deal.
So, I mean, I'm just saying, there could be maybe wiggle room from both him and ownership to maybe not be in such a hurry. No, wiggle room's not the right word, but you know what I mean. To not be in such a hurry to come and get this thing done. So, like, out of any guy that's available this year, like, there's only a handful of those really special coaches, you know, and, you know.
How long has he been the coach there? And that was his first coaching gig, right?
This was his first coaching gig.
And he went straight to head coach. I don't even think he did the other ranks of coaching, right?
Well, I'm not sure about that. But he started there in 2018.
Right.
Okay.
And he's 451 complete games coached. He's 278 wins, 129 losses, 44 overtime losses, a .665 winning percentage in the regular season.
So he's six years in. So I was wondering if he's still, you know, kind of earning the bigger contract, you know, kind of like the players come in, contract one, contract two. But he's at the point where he should be paid.
Like, we all thought he was locked up. He was one of the higher paid guys with longer term contracts. Like, you just wouldn't
after
let
the
Rob
great
Brindamore
year they
get away.
Had last year, you're telling me that they only offered him a 1 year deal at that point, because here we are again and he has no deal. That's amazing.
He wasn't a free agent last year.
Oh, he wasn't. Okay.
No. He just signed this contract. He signed this contract, like, I think, 3 years
ago. Either
way,
it begs the question, if he's expiring, say, on a 4 year and they haven't extended him.
Yeah,
like what he can do.
They could have extended him last year, you know, and that's insane that they haven't. They should have done it the day their season wrapped up. But let's see if Devils can take advantage of that. I mean, I would like him.
I mean, as far as wish list goes, absolutely, he'd be my number one.
Right, and it is weird because I definitely believe that cup experience counts for a lot. But he's kind of, you mentioned the word unicorn. He's unique. Nobody else is doing what he's doing, and you're willing to overlook that because of the other stuff he brings. I guess the number two on the list would, maybe be Sullivan, and then McClellan, and then Berube. Hard to rank them here.
I'd might go Brindamore, and then the more I thought about it, I'm kind of Mike Sullivan or Craig Berube behind Brindamore.
And then I look at the cups, you know, like Sullivan's got a lot of experience.
He does. But I think what Berube and Sullivan can bring to this team, each in a different way, but I think that they could each help this team and do really good. Mm-hmm. I think Rod Brind'Amour would turn this bunch of little fucking cocky boys into grown-ass men and get them to win Stanley Cups. That's what I think Rod Brind'Amour
would never have a lay-down game again, that's for sure.
No.
Yeah, and then like a commitment to a team defense to be able to clamp down and play that when you need it. How many leads did we squander this year because we don't know how to clamp down and play team defense? So, like, that's what I see in Brind'Amour. I see what he brings. I know every coach wants to do that. If we can't have Brind'Amour, I that's what I'm going to favor between Sullivan and Berube because, as you put it out there, maybe even more than McClellan, I would want Berube in my top three. So, I kind of like that as your 1-2-3. It was a very clear one, Brind'Amour.
Yeah.
And, you know, Sullivan, Berube, I want to look at who's going to put a more, better team defense when it's on the line. I was listening to Nico talking about the uphill battle they faced playing the Islanders last night. And I'm not ragging on him because he's one of the only guys who consistently work hard, believe me. But he did say, you know, it's just when they scored those two goals, they play, you know, they drop into their 1-3-3 or, you know, whatever. They play their defensive game, and it's tough, you know, and it's maybe something we should learn from. Yeah, no shit, Nico. That was not a direct quote, but it's pretty close.
Right.
100%. And maybe he's calling for the coach that I want. I want a coach who will have these guys playing defense when they need. I think, you know, you look at last year, they made up with such exuberance and scoring that, you know, I think it's hard to sustain year after year. What is more sustainable is a team that, has the scoring, has the depth to score, but also when they need to win that, you know, game by one goal, they got that lead in the second period. Will they hang on to it? Never this year did I feel the Devils could do that. And that's like maybe one of the biggest coaching changes. We said goaltending's huge. We still got to pursue it, but look at this. We've had pretty damn good goaltending, and what has been missing? The team defense, and the ability to, you know, dig down and play hard. I just think Brind'Amour would just be great for this team. I don't know. I'd love to see him here.
It would be awesome. It would be awesome. So guys, let us know what you think. You can hit us up at theunclepuckers.com. Go on there and you can find ways to contact us. But real quick, a little shout out here. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. I'm going to make this one short. With code THPN, you guys can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours.
Nice. There's
places to get help gambling if you need it. And go find them.
Okay. There you go.
So,
I bet you will.
It's a good one.
I cannot get over the way that they just went out these last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
What was being said in that locker room, do you think? Like, I mean, was there even anybody giving a shit? Because they just, I mean, I know Brat and Timo, like you said, Brat was playing great at the end of the year. But to not be able to carry anybody along, like, why were Nico
disappeared? I don't think there was anybody standing up in that locker room between periods. Giving a speech about why we're
No, but they probably should have been about a month and a half, two months
for
ago.
Sure.
That's what I'm saying. Like, did it ever even happen? Like, I don't know. When
I think about that, I tend to, in my mind, kind of blame the experienced guys more. You know, like, you got these guys who are younger. We went and got some guys with experience, Blatt, Hall, et cetera. And I just feel like they should have led the way here, you know, showed them hey guys, we are still in this, you know, we got this. And I don't know what was said, but I can imagine, you know what it's like when you hear the same speech just in different ways all season long. Yeah. And it never really, really hit home and never really lasted more than one or two games. We didn't win more than three in a row. And after a while, you just stop believing. And I think that's what happened to them.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right.
Never any momentum. There was never anything just carried through over and over.
Yep.
Now, that so was close, sad, though. But it's over. It's over. Now we can watch 16 real teams compete for a Stanley Cup, which is going to be fun. So we'll. I think Thursday we'll do our previews, a little whatever. We'll get together and pick our brackets and do all our fun playoff shit. But.
Yeah, because I don't think we have a firm bracket yet, right? We have a couple of spots.
No, it'll be done, I think, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Dan, did or you, Bobby, too? Did you guys watch Scavenger's Reign on HBO Max?
No, I haven't heard of that one.
It's just, what is this?
It is a crazy animated show. It is, really? Yeah, dude. It's I think it's cool, like shit.
An anime thing.
No, it's kind of like Archer animation.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I would say yeah, a little bit like that. But it's a crazy show, and I want somebody else to watch it because I don't know. I think it's really cool, and I think it's really good. But I want to talk about it with somebody.
It's called Scavenger's Reign.
I'm all in on Three Body Problem. I only got two episodes left. I'm absolutely loving it.
What is Three Body Problem?
It is so up my alley. Okay, so it starts off basically it's alley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know. I was just gonna say what your alley was.
The premise is there's basically this planet in trouble. Okay. And the three body problem is a scientific thing in the universe where, you know, two bodies can basically circle around each other without a problem, but you add a third body, everything becomes chaotic. So you had like, you know, a planet stuck between multiple suns, for example, it wouldn't have a natural orbit. And anyway, it covers a long period of
probably
time.
Probably get ripped apart.
From the 60s to current day and all these ramifications of basically reaching out to space and trying to see if we're not alone.
Oh, so that's cool.
The
three body
problem, the first kind of, it's so well written and it's kind of like gory where it has to be because it helps to tell the story and kind of push it along. Right. But it's kind of like,
it's on
Netflix.
Netflix.
But it has kind of like its own act. So at first, there's literally trying to solve this three body problem, this galactic, as it were. But then it kind of spirals into another way of dealing with the three.
I'm gonna check.
I don't want to give too much away.
Sam from Game of Thrones is in it. Right?
It's hard to watch him in this role.
Oh, good, thank God. I was wondering if he was gonna pop up again. Yeah. No, he's all right. I liked him in Game of Thrones. We are into two shows right now. So
what you watch?
Just tonight we started watching Fallout.
About okay, that's things.
Off the video
it's actually
game.
Really funny.
In fact, we were in the middle of the first episode.
Real quick, really? Because we just finished the second episode.
Oh,
we
cool.
started watching it last night.
Yes, really?
That's fucking amazing. Weird.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's coming out recently. I don't think it's been out that long. But what did you think of it? I was interested. I watched most of the first episode and until I came down here.
Well, you know, the first episode was a little introduction. So the second one, and we actually started the third episode. I think we got like 15, 20 minutes in. So the second episode basically continues with their stories and who they all are, but, you know, much more up on the surface. But it kind of gets a little bit more confusing. Like, you kind of leave episode two with a bunch of questions. And then episode three was, it seems like there's just going to be this on running, you know, we're not going to find out what this all means that they're doing. Probably to like, you know, episode 10. So it's pretty cool, though. I mean, I like it. I'm definitely interested.
I'm gonna stick with it for now. I kind of was like, I liked the very opening scenes, you know, that are maybe in the original time. Well, even before that, you know, just the very opening things, you know, in the world before it goes south.
Well, yeah, right. As it goes south. That was at the birthday party.
Yeah. And I thought that was neat. So that got me a little hooked. So, yeah, I'm going to check it out some. And the other thing we're watching, we're deep into, and we're going to catch the new episode, is that Shogun show. So
I heard you
want to see that, too.
Yeah, it's, you know, period piece, feudal Japan. Samurai, all that bullshit, but it was actually pretty cool, pretty well done. There's like one Englishman there, so you're like, all right, is this another like Tom Cruise Last Samurai shit? But no, they really didn't turn this guy into some kind of like super ninja, which is, you're like, good, you know, because that's kind of annoying. But it is pretty cool. I liked it. It's neat. I'm a little confused on some things, like just like the family trees of these people. Like, I'm just a little confused, but mostly enjoying it.
I always get confused when there's big, giant period pieces with tons of people involved. Like, it took me a lot of like the last episode of Game of Thrones. Know who everybody was fucking in families with. Like, I don't know who the hell they are.
You know, there's like this person's that person's uncle, but then he's also this guy's cousin. It's like, you know, it's like when you read like Lord of the Rings, like, you know,
but
Bilbo
like,
is his cousin and his uncle. I can't figure this shit out.
I enjoyed Game of Thrones actually much more the second time I saw it just because I picked up a lot more shit. started, you know, have a little bit of familiarity of each character.
I did like when I rewatched it, that very first episode, you're like, oh shit. Like like so much stuff in the first episode that I didn't even pick up into the second, because it doesn't really matter till you get towards the end of the series, you know?
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
That they kept it going for how many years. I also just finished watching Invincible, the two seasons of that on HBO Prime, or Amazon Prime, rather. Do you ever hear that?
Remember that. What is that one about?
It's an animated show about, what the hell is his name? J.K. Simmons? Is that his name?
Yeah.
So he's a superhero named Omni-Man, and he has son. He's an alien. You know, that's the old kind of Superman thing, that he came to Earth, he has superpowers, and he's here to help. And his son, you know, he's with a human. They have a son who's takes a super name, Invincible, gets his powers like around 15 years old. And then it kind of takes off where, like, the first episode, he's kind of just showing his kid, you know, how to be a superhero. Right. And then shit gets really fucking dark and really violent, really gory, really fast. And it's awesome. It is a freaking awesome show.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Three shows to check out.
Yeah. I guess I just watch a lot more cartoons than you guys.
Yeah.
I'm really not happy.
We did watch that Blue-Eyed Samurai deal. That was animated.
Did you like it?
I did. It was all right. I thought it was interesting. It was not great, but it was good.
I didn't finish it. I mean, it was like a really Mulan thing, right?
Yes and no. I mean, yeah, but it was neat. It was, and I think it's based a little bit more historical than, you know, which is kind of cool, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, it was all right. I'll definitely check out the second season, but yeah.
I got to watch Three Body Problem, though.
That sounds really interesting.
The first episode will grab you. You're wondering what direction they're going.
Yeah, I love sci-fi stuff.
Like, mention it to everybody in my family. Like, everyone's like, I've never heard of it. We have no interest in watching it. I want to watch it with somebody.
Sometimes. Yeah.
All right. I might have to check that out. I'm definitely going to check that out. I don't know what I'm going to watch tonight. I don't know how much more Trump on trial I could watch.
I did not catch that. I heard it was a crazy shit show, and I'm sure I'll see clips somewhere.
Yeah, it's all the rage. Yeah.
Right.
President on trial. This is fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yes, so, Bobby. I need help here. I usually go to Cap Friendly to check out the most recent roster. As we know, we've talked about a game that we're going to play throughout the entire summer. We're going to take the frozen roster as it was the last game.
We're going to
predict basically our starting lineup throughout the year. It'll change with trades, with signings, and come the first game, we're going to see who's basically closest. But I'm looking at the
Islander game. You got to get your baseline is what you're saying, right?
Right. Well, I'm looking at the Islander game here, and I don't know if there's an error or if this is right, but they have it as Meyer, Heischer, Bratt, Holtz, Halla, Mercer.
Yeah.
And then they only have Palat and Nosek for line three. And then they go to McDermott, Tierney, and Foote on line four. Was there not a right wing on line three? Well, I don't see why they would have short a guy. They called up a bunch of people. Wasn't Graham Clark in that game?
No. Was he?
He was in the game before.
No, I thought he was out because Nosek was back in.
So I'll have to Google it a different way then and get the actual final lineup. But we'll run through it all summer, occasionally, of course, and we're going to score it like this come the end, come opening day. So you'll get 1 point for each player that's in the starting lineup. So it means you wouldn't get a point for a player like McDermott if you say that's going to be our roving kind of extra forward who's going to come in that lineup. This is going to be specifically for the top, 20 that are on the line to start.
Right.
Then you'll get an additional point if you're on the correct line or pairing.
Okay.
And then a final additional point if you nail the actual position, left wing versus right, is Jack Hughes back at center, that kind of thing. I got a couple ways to do the tiebreaker. So I'll get the roster frozen, and maybe once a week we'll just share what we think it's going to be. You could start recklessly speculating right now. You could say day one, you could say Kachuk's in the lineup or, whatever you want to do. And we'll just watch it evolve throughout the year and we'll see who wins.
All right. I think that'll be fun.
I'm going to have to learn this one on the fly because my brain got fried, but I totally think it'll be fun.
I'm going to give you the map as it is today of the lineup. You're just going to talk to me. I'm going to pencil in new names for you.
That's excellent. You say, he's going to be there in the beginning of the year, or there's no way he's going to be back or whatever. And then we go from there. That's a lot of shit that you got to keep track of, Bobby.
Well, yeah. Yeah. That's not so bad.
All right. Well, listen, you know, we could tell that this is a depressing last episode before the actual playoffs. This was our, like, we're putting this year's Devil team to rest. We're going to bury them. Not going to fucking talk about them again. We got awesome playoffs to look forward to. Hopefully somebody other than the New York Rangers win the Stanley Cup, because I don't know if I can handle that all summer long. So, yeah, hopefully that happens. And then we get into all the fun stuff. So let's just enjoy the playoffs. Fuck this year's Devils team. They're dead, bloated, and buried. Good?
Sounds good to me.
All right. And again, so, moving forward in the summer, we're going to open up Pucker Predictions to the audience. So we're going to guide you probably to the website. It'll be one area. It'll be a Pucker Predictions page so we can get some people to put in their predictions. As Chris said, we're ironing out the details, but it's not going to be predictions that have to be week to week. It could be something that doesn't come to fruition until the end of the year. We'll keep tabs on that. All the listeners will represent that category of listeners. And we'll have a lot of fun with that, too.
Just curious
about
that.
Playoffs start – do they start Saturday or Monday? Or is it like this weekend or Monday? I don't know.
Not a lot of time for it, but maybe we'll pick up if we want to with the you know, second round onwards. See if we get a you know, fan bracket prediction, you know?
Okay.
I can throw their bracket predictions of how it's going to go, you know, who's going to match up with who's going to win all the way to the cup.
We know we have at least one fan that'll do it. So, Tim, whenever the playoffs are set, put it in. All right, we're going to wrap it up. Wherever you're listening to us, like a 5-star review, a positive comment helps us out here, and we really appreciate it. For Bobby and Dan, I'm Chris. We're the Young Puckers. See you when we see you.
Puckers out.
Bye-bye. If somebody got to pee or something, it's pretty abrupt.
I got to go to the bathroom.
Yes.
It was like the Devils. They won the season over.
That's it.
It's over.